All right, shit shows. Did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps? It affects 1 in 3 adults, and especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, brain fog, weakness, brittle nails. But the problem is that most people don't realize that low iron may be the cause of these issues. That's why I'm here to tell you about Citerol from Pharma Nutra. This is a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while also avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea, constipation, and all that fun stuff. It is clinically proven to be comparable to IV iron and is formulated with just 2 ingredients, iron and vitamin C. It's vegan, allergen-free, gluten-free. You can take it anytime, anywhere. So if you're that 1 out of 3 with an iron deficiency, head to pharmanutra-us.com and use code adultchild for 10% off your first order. That is pharmanutra-us.com, promo code adultchild for 10% off today.
So shit shows, the holidays sure do sneak up fast, so it's never too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it instead of scrambling at the last minute and just finding whatever the hell you can find. And Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Good looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. So I just got a friend of mine a laptop cat scratching pad. So it's a scratching pad that looks like a laptop because her cat, like mine, likes to constantly sit on her computer. It's probably not going to help with that problem, but it was hilarious and I had to get it. And then I got for myself, it's called a couch caddy. So confession, I'm constantly losing my phone and the remote in between the couch cushions. And so this is this like beautiful wooden thing that kind of drapes over the arm of the couch. And it has a designated spot where I can put my phone, the remote, a drink. It's the shit. I'm obsessed. And so Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms to dads, kids, teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans to foodies. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And I mean it. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/adultchild. That's uncommongoods.com/adultchild for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Where are you seeing attachment patterns show up? Because we grew up in chaos, neglect, or emotional unpredictability, it makes sense that our attachment patterns aren't neat or consistent. They're disorganized, meaning we can lean anxious in some areas of our lives and avoidant in others. We might cling in love, withdraw in friendships, overfunction at work, and completely freeze when it comes to money or asking for help. None of this means we're broken. It just means our nervous system adapted to survive. The invitation is simply to notice, without judgment, where these patterns may be showing up in your life today. In romantic relationships, anxious patterns might show up as overanalyzing every text, taking distance as rejection, or losing yourself in someone else's needs. Avoidant patterns might show up as shutting down when things get too close, minimizing your needs, or convincing yourself you're better off alone. Core idea, both are fear responses. One fears abandonment, the other fears engulfment. Friendships. Anxious attachment can sound like, did I do something wrong, when a friend takes longer to reply, or feeling responsible for keeping every connection alive. Avoidant attachment might look like being the strong one who never needs support, or ghosting when someone gets too emotionally messy. Core idea, healthy friendship requires mutuality, not managing or disappearing. Work and purpose. Anxious patterns often look like perfectionism, people-pleasing, or tying your worth to productivity and praise. Avoidant patterns might show up as procrastination, creative shutdown, or self-sabotage when success feels threatening. Core idea, work becomes another attachment field when approval equals safety and criticism equals danger. Relationship with self. The anxious part of you may flood with self-criticism or panic when you make mistakes. The avoidant part might numb, distract, or pretend you don't care. Core idea, healing means letting both parts exist, the one who fears being too much, and the one who fears needing too much. Money and security. Anxious attachment can lead to grasping, hoarding, overworking, or constant financial worry. Avoidant attachment might show up as avoidance, not checking your account, ignoring your bills, or feeling allergic to structure. core idea, our relationship to money often mirrors our early relationship to safety, unpredictable, inconsistent, and survival-based. So some questions. Do you have memories of how your attachment pattern showed up for you as a child, the ways you sought connection, comfort, or safety? Where are you noticing anxious or avoidant patterns showing up most right now? Which areas of your life feels the hardest to stay present in, love, friendship, work, or self-care? And what would it look like to respond to that part of you with understanding instead of judgment? So this was kind of like a little bit of a shocker for me to realize, because I've always considered myself as somebody who's just like a hardcore anxious attacher. And I'm realizing how much I'm avoidant in like all the other areas of my life outside of relationship. So I guess I kind of wrote this top part for myself because I never really considered the concept of how disorganized could mean that we have a different attachment style depending upon what the area of our life is. I guess I always just thought of it as, you know, we'd show up as both anxious and avoidant in one particular area, but I'm realizing that, you know, we can have different attachment styles depending on what it is. And so I'm curious if other people can relate to that, because it's really something that I've never really considered or thought about before. And really what it comes down to for me is it's all shame-based. It comes down to not wanting to look inside, like look at myself, the way that the avoidant attachment shows up in the relationship with myself, in the relationship with work, relationship with money and finances, is not wanting to look inward, because not wanting to have to look or confront feelings of shame and or failure. And something that I'm kind of thawing out from over the past couple weeks since relaunching the podcast, and I don't even like to say this out loud, but I'm just going to say it. I guess that there's just like a part of me that felt like was hoping that I was going to feel quote unquote farther along or like better off when I like relaunched the podcast. And I don't know if it was like having these like unrealistic or like lofty goals about like how I would feel or what my life would look like. And it's not just about the time that I took off like during this break. There's a lot of regret and shame that I'm finally facing and confronting about how much of my life over the past like 5 years I've spent dissociating, you know, just on my phone, wasting time, and just feeling like a real sense of grief and loss there in time that I can't get back, and just really coming to terms with how avoidant I've been in so many areas of my life. And it's really just kind of mind-blowing to me. It's quite a shock to me. And another thing that I realized that I had been doing too was, you know, I was always so good about getting back to friends when they called me and reaching out. And I realized that there was the shame there too of not wanting to reach out and connect with people, because there was shame about what my life looked like and like where I was in life. So it's just really interesting, because I've never considered myself to have avoidant tendencies, just realizing how much they do show up for me, and just how much of my anxious energy and the numbing out, the distraction, just all of the heavy feelings of grief and regret that I've just avoided feeling, that are just really heavy and intense. And so just learning how to sit with that. And another thing too that I'll just share that came up for me today that I hadn't made the connection to, it came up for me in therapy, is, you know, I had my inner critic, this judgmental part of me, has always been shaming me and judging me from a place of thinking that it's helping me because it thinks that it knows what I'm capable of, and that it thinks that if it just, you know, shames the shit out of me, that I'll kick it into high gear and I'll get it together. And then realizing that there's another judgmental part of me that's almost, it has an angrier vibe to it. That is like, it's like judging that part and judging a whole lot of parts of like, see, like this hasn't worked. That belief that you are capable and that if we just judge you and shame you, that you'll get it together. Like That hasn't worked. So that just means that there must be just something inherently wrong with you. You must just be fatally flawed. But making the connection to the part of me, not the part of me, but me who used to shame and berate my mom with her drinking, thinking that if I did that, that she would get sober. That if I, you know, like knowing that she had it in her, that she could get sober, that she could stop drinking, and that if I just berated her and yelled at her and judged her over her drinking, that eventually she would stop. And then coming to terms with like, that didn't work. That didn't work out. That didn't get my mom sober. So just, yeah, just kind of realizing like how much of the dynamics I'm still like playing out in my family too. And the last thing I'll just say too, with like kind of these avoidant tendencies coming up is, you know, when we think about what our childhood experiences were that shape a more anxious or avoidant tendencies, the more dismissive, harsh parenting is typically what creates a more avoidant patterns. And I think about how that wasn't my experience with my parents when I was a kid, but that's been my experience with my parents over the past, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. So just kind of interesting, just like watching the shifts in the dynamics in my attachment style. So I'm glad I could just say that out loud, because a lot of that just feels like super uncomfortable to say.
I love it. Like I can, you know, speaking for myself, it's like seeing you as our captain of this shit show. It's just incredible because you put it so eloquently and just can totally resonate with a lot of it. And it's, you know, it's just so real. It's a lot to chomp on and digest. And the same way with the avoid, like my, you know, my husband's more the avoidant attachment. I was always anxious. And I remember being so taken aback when I had done one of those tests. And I was like, anxious, avoidant. I'm not avoidant. I'm not like outwardly avoidant, but it is. It's, I do all the other, you know, it's just, and I just never put these two, like, this is just such a great reading that you did, because it's just, I'm making a lot of really important connections, I feel like. Like I needed this because I just have felt so lost and dysregulated and all over the place. And ever since my mom dropped that box of stuff off, I feel like every week I feel like I keep bringing that stupid thing up. But I feel like that is just what it's forced me to like deal with it and heal the shit. And it's really hard. And I have been just completely avoidant of even my best friend in the entire world, which is, it feels weird. And then I feel so ashamed that I've done that. And I know that she doesn't judge me. Like, I know that she gets it, but then I feel bad because she's in this new relationship and she's happy. So there's that burden part, right? And I had like a month or so ago, you know, I was with my girlfriends, that my close girlfriends, and we like all went out and kind of did what we do, where it's like, what's your win? What's an update? And I just had like, it just came out that I was going through heavy shit and that I was CSA survivor, you know, a victim. And that was, you know, again, it's just like there's that shame. Like I just was hiding under my sweater because it was like my friends know. And you know, just, it's just a lot. Yeah. So I have been completely just avoidant of everything. Going through day-to-day life is really, really hard sometimes. And I was thinking the other day, like, how did I do this before? Like, I know that my life was so chaotic when I was still in contact with my family and so toxic, but I almost felt like it was easier, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I know that it was so bad for me and I know I can't go back. But it's just, it's really hard. And yeah, I drew this. This did help. I finally had my emotional roots. I think Mary Frances is here, right? I don't know if Teresa's here. Remember that little girl I was talking about? I drew her. So this is that heaviness of shame and avoidance and all of it as little girl. And my son saw it the other morning and he said, Mommy, is that you as a kid? And I said, yeah, I drew it. And he just came over and gave me like the biggest hug. He's like, I'm so sorry. And yeah, but that's it. Like, I just want to like bury my head in my hands and avoid everything. And it's completely bled into every aspect of my life. And this week has been a little better. Like, I've been on more task with my work stuff. And that's when I know it's really bad, is like when my boss calls me and she's like, "Hey girl, I'm just checking in, you know, because I'm too ashamed to ask for help. I'm too ashamed to say, hey, I'm really in it." Because in my mind, I still feel like it's like not that big of a deal, you know, which I have to accept that, but it's hard. It can come out of my mouth, but accepting it and like really accepting it is really hard. And I just want to avoid it like completely, you know? And it's interesting when you're talking about with your mom, like I berated my dad so much with his drinking. Like we got in so many fights about it. And I thought maybe if I was like, oh, when I have kids, the grandkids, that's what will, he'll finally stop. But no, it didn't. I feel like it got worse and more dangerous. And that didn't work. But now it's almost like I use that same attack mode on myself, you know, like if I can just attack myself more. This morning, sorry for the rambling, I was taking my earrings out and my brand new, like really beautiful diamond stud earring my husband gave me for my birthday fell down the fucking bathroom sink drain. And I went into full fucking panic mode, and he's already in the office. And I tried to get it out, and I was so determined. I knew I should have stopped, but I was determined to get it out, and it just fell down farther and farther. And luckily, long story short, he was able to get it out when he got home from work. But that just sent me into a freaking spiral, and I was like, I don't deserve this. Like, I don't deserve these nice things. I understand that if you are upset with me, like, I'm a disappointment. And I felt like, then my friend told my husband about a job interview today, and I was like, why didn't you tell me? Oh my God, is it like, am I too much? Like, do people not want to tell me these things now because they feel like I can't? You know, I just like, you start to do that spiral. And what did I do? I just sat and stood at the library tonight for like an hour and a half, and I don't even understand how that time went by, just standing there. And then my husband texted me, and I realized it, and I was like, I'm on my way home. I'm so sorry. So, but yeah. Okay, I'm gonna end there.
All right, Shisha. So I have been talking to you about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormonal levels, with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide, with 98% of them saying they would recommend it to somebody else. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their probiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings. It helps you feel satisfied longer, boost your energy. It helps to relieve occasional gas and bloating, reduce sugar cravings, keeps you feeling satisfied longer, boost your energy, and helps you stabilize those damn mood swings. And because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. And so I struggle with brain fog. I'm sure many of y'all can relate. And since I've been taking the prebiotic collagen protein, I've noticed a big difference there, as well as just a lift in my overall energy levels. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows, folks. So right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order today with code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That is happymammoth.com. Use code ADULTCHILD to get 15% off today.
So shit shows, the pressure to make the most of the final months of the year is absolutely real. If you woke up today thinking of all the things you should be doing, please stop shitting on yourself. You're doing the best that you can. And when the shoulds pile up for me, Calm is a tool that I reach for to release stress and find space to breathe even on my busiest days. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, and it's here to help you feel better with guided meditations, sleep meditations, grounding exercises like breath work, and expert-led talks. The Calm app puts the tools you need right in your pocket, so stress and anxiety relief is always within reach. So calm your mind and change your life. Calm has an exclusive offer just for listeners of our show. Get 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/adultchild. This is an amazing value. Go to calm.com/adultchild for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, calm.com/adultchild, and tell Calm you heard about them from me.
All right, Chichos, did you know that scientists now openly say that your gut is the cornerstone of your health? And it's not just about digestion, okay? The gut literally affects everything from your energy levels to mood to weight management and even your longevity. However, an imbalanced microbiome can sneakily sabotage you with constant bloating, sluggish energy, and those stubborn extra pounds that you just can't lose no matter what. But here's the kicker. Fixing your gut bacteria isn't rocket science. It is the game changer for reclaiming your vibe and living your best damn life. And that is where Byoma steps in, delivering powerhouse supplements like their flagship probiotics for killer digestion and weight control, the Feminine Health Symbiotic to keep things balanced down there, and menopause support to crush hot flashes and mood swings. Their science-backed trio of prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics work like a gut reset button, all in vegan, tasteless capsules with a no BS 14-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free, okay? So go to gobioma.com/adultchild today for an extra 15% off your order. That is gobioma.com/adultchild and get an extra 15% off.
So I was thinking about this, and I've never really considered myself to be avoidant in things. I've been anxious about a lot of things, but it just sort of seems like the conversation around the shame of your family of origin and some of those other things shows up in, for me, in, you know, not being as open to showing my true self to other people, that the, you know, and it shows up in weird ways because it makes me avoid doing the things that I want to do. And it makes me avoid doing something that has some element of risk. And it's kind of like the judge shows up and says, you're not supposed to do this. You're not going to have a good time. It's, you're going to fail at this. And then the internal critic shows up at the same time. And I want to make sure that they stay in retirement as things go on. But that is the hardest thing that I have to sort of deal with. But it feels like these things manifest themselves in weird ways because the I don't have fun comment from your recent interview, really, it's stuck out in my mind on this. And it's sort of like, well, why is this? And it sort of is this bit of a shame spiral that goes back to growing up without much, growing up with the situation where you find yourself having 30 years of work experience by the time you're 40, some of these other things that show up like that. And it's kind of like the need for survival was so critical that I've gotten to a point where I have a pretty good job and I don't feel like there's any financial crisis there. But sometimes I feel like I can't spend money on things that are fun because I may need to, you know, there might be some crisis looking down the road. And I'm sort of that long-term planner guy. One of the mantras my therapist had me work through was to sort of try to adopt the philosophy of live life, don't look back or don't go back, from the mindset of how can you figure out how to move from just surviving to thriving and to sort of live in a way that makes a lot of sense. So he gave me the recommendation to read the book Die with Zero, sort of from this mindset of, you know, having no regrets and making the most of your life and your financial resources as you work through these things, because it just seems like I've had that sort of anxiety around finances because of the not having anything. And when you live with, you know, having government cheese and food pantry food is what you had in your house, it's kind of a, you know, shameful experience there. I just never wanted to sort of have that be my existence. But anyway, that's all for tonight. So thanks for letting me have a moment or two, and hope everyone's evening's going well.
Hi guys. I wanted to say something about what you said, Andrew, about feeling like you should be further along. And I feel like that quite a bit, where, you know, I've been doing this for about 3 years now, and there have been moments I've kind of asked myself, you know, why aren't you feeling better about things? Why aren't you in a better place about things? And I truly believe that we are always a constant work in progress. And I think there's always going to be times when we move forward in our healing, but there's always going to be times when we take that step back. And, you know, when I first started learning about attachment styles and things like that, I thought I was always going to be the same attachment style all the time. I thought that's what I am. I'm anxious attacher. So I'm going to always be an anxious attacher. But then I have moments where I feel very secure in relationships or with myself and things like that. And I've started to see more of that happening. And now I see how that all works. And it makes me feel like there's hope for me, you know, to get to where I want to be. And just kind of a funny thing I thought about when you were talking about that. Do you guys remember that, those commercials, the Hair Club for Men or something like that? I'm not just a spokesperson, I'm a member too. Well, you know, you're a shit show and a member too. So you belong here, and no better person to lead the crew than you. So I think you have a lot to be proud of. And, you know, as far as the reading goes, I think I struggle the most in friendships and relationships, because in friendships, I'm good making new friends. I like making new friends and having people in my life. But then the first moment something goes wrong, or there's an uncomfortable moment with them, or something, you know, doesn't quite go right, or I feel like there's like a competition thing or something. Anytime something goes wrong, I instantly want to shut down and just run away. And I want to, and I know that now that's a protection thing that I do for myself. It's just my way of walking away and not getting hurt before somebody can hurt me. And I know that's something that I still need to work on. And in romantic relationships, when it talked about overanalyzing messages and things said, and I am the worst for that. And I feel like I'm always second guessing what somebody says to me. What does it mean? You know, how should I respond to that? Am I going to respond incorrectly? I can spend so much time, wasted time, just thinking about these things. And I'm slowly learning that I don't have to do that. And I can be comfortable in knowing that, you know, if they are upset with me, then I'm going to face that. I need to face that head on. If I've done something to hurt somebody, then I need to own that. And I need to deal with that. And so many times in my past, I've just wanted to hide from that. And it's just like I said, we're a constant work in progress. And I'm grateful for all of you guys here. You guys helped me a ton through so many of these things. So that's all I had to say. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Deb. Go ahead, Anna.
Honestly, a lot. Like, I feel like I don't even really need to share that much, because everything everyone's been saying is very, very relatable. I feel like I definitely lean a lot more avoidant, but I always thought I was more anxious because I had all of the anxiety and just all of the avoidant behavior. But I didn't realize how checked out I've been with myself, and just how scared I've been to reach out, because I was so sure it was just going to go away anyway. Like, when I was growing up, we would move around a lot. So if I made a friend, and even if they were my best friend, I wouldn't see them again, after a year or two. And then, my mom would, because my parents would fight, and sometimes when she just absolutely had it, she would run off. And it could be for, a couple hours. And I think the longest was, 2 weeks. And when my little brother was born, she would take him with her. But she would mostly leave us because of, custody issues. And I don't know. So I feel like I had all of, that anxiety of, I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to be forgotten. I just want them to, people to love me. But I just, because I was so convinced that it didn't really matter, that I was going to be left behind anyway, that there wasn't even a point in trying to reach out. So I would just shut it all off. And the whole time I would just be like, I don't know why I'm so lonely. I just wish that someone would be my friend. I just want to have a really strong connection, while doing everything in my power to destroy or just kill it before it could even had a chance. And I don't know. It just makes me sad, because I don't like who I am with all of it. I'm married, and with my husband, I can be so anxious where I'll just ask him, do you hate me? Do you hate me? Are you angry with me right now? Do you still love me? Do you think you're going to love me forever? And then I'll switch it up sometimes, in maybe an hour or two later, I'll just be really cold, where I'm just I'm somehow have convinced myself that actually, despite all of his reassurances, he can't stand me. He'll never accept me for who I am, even though I've never given him the proper chance. But yeah, that's mostly it. But I have a daughter, and she overheard me listening to the podcast. And when she found out I was doing this meeting, she wanted me to tell you. She's like, can you tell the lady on the podcast that I'm a big fan and I think that her podcast is really nice and she has a really pretty voice and also she can sometimes be funny.
How old is she?
She's 9.
Oh, that's so cute. Tell her thank you. What's her name?
Jubilee.
Julie. So cute.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Yana. Go ahead, Wendy.
Okay. First off, that's adorable. I got to follow that. No, I am like everybody else here tonight that's shared. I didn't realize that there were different forms for different situations for these types. The one that came up for me the most was the work one because of it seems like it's, you know, more. It feels like it's more often than it is probably, but it just happened to me 2 days ago. So just like the people pleasing and not wanting to speak up or not contradict isn't what I'm thinking of, but just like kind of push my role more of what my job is. Cause everything that I do in my job is so like individual. And then just like spinning and not being able to just do my job. I wish I would be able to get to the point where I would be able to figure it out when it's happening instead of just kind of shutting down for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes and just like freaking out internally instead of just being able to be like, okay, take some deep breaths, calm yourself down. What do you got to do? You know, it's like, but you know, I get mad at myself because I feel like if I would have handled the situation, quote unquote, better originally or the first time, none of the dominoes that fall after that would have happened. So, but you know, realizing it is the first step and, you know, working on it. So now hopefully I'll be aware of, you know, the situation and I can just take a second and then say, no, actually I need to do this. And it's not going to be just like immediate, like fawning and people pleasing. Knowing that it's wrong and knowing it's going to, by people pleasing, it's going to end up being a worse case scenario than it would be if I just did the right thing from the beginning. But super important topic, I think, and I think one obviously that we can all relate to. So thanks.
Does anyone else want to chime in? I thought one thing that was really interesting that Heidi shared in the podcast yesterday too was about perfectionism being really so tightly connected to avoidant attachment. I thought that was really interesting. But anyone can share about this or any other topic they would like to share about.
Yeah, the Heidi interview was amazing. The nuance of attachment. I remember reading that book Attach easily 7 years ago, and I didn't recognize it. So much of this is me not right. You know, when I hear people's stories and they're identifying what they're going through and they're able to verbalize it and describe it, I'm always in awe because I still find it difficult to do that. But I remember reading that book and feeling shame because all it did was tell me what I was. It gave me no outs, no tools, no explanation. And, you know, I've had it has taken me a while not to be in shame every time I hear a characteristic that applies to me, you know, versus hearing a characteristic that applies to me and being able to be curious about it, make it a growing edge or whatever, you know, not feeling shame around it, you know, but she had said a couple of things. I even took notes. She even said something like, you know, the avoiding, you know, what they can do is seek chances for connection. You know, I was that kid that was most comfortable alone and safest alone. So as an adult, I'm an isolator. I love being alone, you know, and that's where I feel nourished. But, you know, again, she said something about basically seeking those chances and opportunities to share and be intimate. And while my nervous system likes to isolate and likes to be alone and also has a sense of, I'm going to coin it my own new term, emotional perfectionism. Like, I don't want to go see a friend in Jacksonville when I'm not feeling great because I feel like I need to be perfect to go show up and be with somebody. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. So unless I'm of, you know, 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 on emotions, I don't want to put myself out there with friends, family, or anyone else. Therefore, that's so rare, I stay at home. But on the other hand, like, you know, the conversation, you know, the coffee with my uncle today, and that turned into a lunch with a buddy today, both, you know, a couple hours, and they're like, ah, some, and then you have those connections. It's like exercise, like, you know, fuck, I can't get off my ass off the exercise, but I feel great. It's the same thing with connection and intimacy. Like when I do it, I feel occasionally I feel drained, but often I just feel fantastic about it. And that's a big reason why that podcast is a big reason why I'm here tonight. Plus I'm not traveling. I was like, you know, just feeling isolated and feeling alone, you know, and I think that's where loss comes in again, like losing my uncle and, you know, my only family member that's left where I live. You know, there's a real abandonment thing, to theme of abandonment in all of this for me. You know, when I'm not able to connect deeply and intimately, and since and connection feels uncomfortable, that's an abandonment of myself, you know. But yeah, I really enjoyed that podcast. That was one of my, as a matter of fact, I, you know, on her website, you can't find where she's got the thing going on in Costa Rica. I got to, you know, one of her workshops would be fantastic. But anyway, that's all for now.
All right. Thanks for being here for the men's hair club. Love you guys. See you next time. What's holding on?